Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Today, we are launching a new series called Spirit Led, and we'll be looking at growing in our awareness of the Holy Spirit, often we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit, but He is more present in our lives. And, when we notice Him, when we see where He is working, it becomes easy for us to respond to His leadership. The Holy Spirit is present in our lives, and when we grow in our awareness of His activity, that also increases our response to Jesus Christ. When you grow in your awareness of what the Spirit of God is doing in your life, that also increases how you respond to Jesus Christ. Just last week, Kate and Edith and I, we went to the lake. So Kate and I had an idea, and we said to Edith, "Hey Edith, do you want to go to the lake for 1 hour?" And she said, "Yeah, who says no to the lake?" So we went, we drove out there in the afternoon, and we spent an hour there. On our way back from the lake, my wife Kate says, "Let's play a game. Let's play a game." And the game that we're going to play is, how many cars with one headlamp are we going to see? How many cars with one headlamp are we going to see? So it was getting a bit dark. Maybe it was around six-ish. And we had to play this game. And in the game was, you have to guess. So you say a number, and whoever is the closest to the number, they win the game. Now, because I have so much faith, in Malawians, so much faith in the drivers, in Malawi, I said, you know what? It's going to be so hard to find a car that would have one headlamp. And I'm also thinking, in my head, I'm also calculating that, for me to win this game, I have to see what's going on. So what's going on is that, at the moment, people are on holidays, and most people are in their homes, so there are not even a lot of vehicles on the road, and we are going out of Salima. Most people are probably spending a night here, and they'll be going back the next day, because that was a Friday, or maybe they've already come to Salima, so I don't think we're going to find a lot of vehicles on the road. So I say, you know what, our chances of finding a car with one headlamp, I think that our chances are slim. So I said, my number is zero. We will not see anything like that. And my wife, Kate, said, I think maybe we're going to see three cars with one headlamp. And Edith, who obviously has lost faith in most drivers in Malawi, she said, I think we're going to see at least seven cars with one headlamp. And we all just said our numbers, and 20 meters. Just right there, 20 meters in, one car comes with one headlamp. I'm like, come on, what's going on? So this time I'm already out. I'm already out of the game. But I said, you know what? We also have to round up numbers, So, one is close to zero than it is to three or seven. So I'm still winning. I'm still winning in this game. I guarantee you that within 20 minutes, we saw about eight vehicles with one headlamp. Yeah, and then we stopped counting, because we were just laughing and being like, wow. What made me aware is that it's not that there are not vehicles with one headlamp on the roads. We actually see them, and we know so many times, but you notice them so much. We noticed them a lot in this time because we were playing this game and we raised our antennas so we could watch the vehicles that were coming from the opposite direction. And, because we were aware, tuned in to see what's going on the road, we saw a lot of cars that had one headlamp. And the same applies, to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work. His activity is so present in our lives. In fact, you cannot come to know Jesus apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So he is there. He is at work. But we need to grow our awareness of the Holy Spirit, because as our awareness grows, our responsiveness to Jesus will also increase. As our awareness grows, as our awareness of the Holy Spirit and his activity is happening, what can happen is that our response to Jesus will also increase. So the bottom line of this series is that as our awareness of the Holy Spirit grows, our responsiveness to Jesus increases. And this is because when you read John chapter 16, Jesus Christ says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me. He will glorify me. So the Holy Spirit is actually there not to glorify himself. He's there not to glorify people. He's actually there to glorify Jesus. So as he glorifies Jesus, it means we are responding to Jesus. We're responding to him. Now I know that this topic is a difficult one. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's difficult because maybe the backgrounds that we are coming, from. I come from a background where we, we would be all spirit, So like even if somebody comes and even worship leading, you guys have these papers and you're playing and come on, we didn't do that stuff. We are like, we're going to go in and lead worship and whatever comes on the stage. So you go and do it. You do it in all areas, in your preaching, whatever it is, it's just as the Spirit leads. We believe that if you do not speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. So that's the background that I come from. We did all kinds of crazy stuff, in those days. I remember one time we were praying. And I think we were like 1.5 hours into this like time of prayer. And one lady wanted to take a break by singing a song. But probably she didn't know how to go about it. So she said, "Thus says the Lord." So the rule was, if somebody says, "Thus says the Lord," everybody else is going to keep quiet. So we all kept quiet and wanted to hear what the Lord is saying. He says, "Thus says the Lord." Like, yeah, okay, quiet. "Thus says the Lord." Like, yeah. The Lord says, "Humphreys, sing a song." It's like, okay, maybe there is more, Sing a song of your life. Sing a song or not. Come on. I'm like, maybe there's something to this. But that was it. That was the message. I should sing a song. So I started singing a song and finished the song. I'm like, okay, maybe there should be more, but there was nothing else. And having a chat with her, she just wanted to take a break. We had been praying for a long time. Come on. I was feeling it in my spirit for us to take a break. So that's where I'm coming from, and we did all kinds of crazy, stuff and all just hiding behind the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you come from that background. Or maybe you come from a background of you noticing the crazy ones. So you say, if ever you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's maybe your camp against the other camp. And, you say, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. So we recognize that he is there. We recognize, he works. We recognize that he's so central to our salvation, but we don't want to talk about him. We don't want to chat about him. So there could be those, two camps. But also, all of us have a hard time, of looking at the Holy Spirit, because I feel like it's easy to look at Jesus, because Jesus was born. We're just reading a Christmas story. He was born. He was going to the temple. He was speaking to people. We have even made movies about him. So there is kind of like this relationship of he was human, yeah, we could relate, you know. There's a lot of stories written about him, things that he did in real life. And, you know, he was there in the flesh. So it's kind of like easier to put kind of like a picture on Jesus. You know, even God the Father, there's a lot of metaphors, a lot of stories of him working. And there is, you know, we obviously we cannot grasp all of God, but there is kind of like this easiness into saying, okay, there's God who created the whole world, and he's almighty. But it's so hard to, you know, to talk about the Holy Spirit because we fail to connect him to things, you know, like we fail to do that. And I know for most people, whenever the issue of the Holy Spirit comes up, you're thinking of power, you know, some sort of, you know, force, you know, a force of some sorts. Or maybe you think about influence, or maybe you think about the wind, you know. And most of these things are because, let's say Scripture says the Holy Spirit is like the wind, you know. You don't know where he's coming from and where he is going, so you see him as the wind. Or maybe as the dove, because, you know, the Holy Spirit came on Christ after he was baptized. He came on him in a form of a dove. So it's hard for us to be like, where exactly? But as we learn from Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 19, this is part of the Great Commission that Jesus Christ was telling his disciples when he was about to go to the Father. As part of the charge that he gave them, he said, go into the world and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Christ shows that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, the Trinity, God, three but in one. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three, but in one. So he's part of the Godhead, and he deserves to be honored. The Holy Spirit deserves to be respected as God. The Holy Spirit deserves to be worshipped as God. He deserves to be worshipped as God. And that also is a bit difficult, isn't it? Like, you know, it's easy to say, I worship you, Jesus, but I worship you, Holy Spirit. We don't usually do that, isn't it? But he is God, and he deserves, you know, to be worshipped. However, we're not talking about the Trinity. We're just talking about being aware of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the Holy Spirit is doing his work. And one of the activities, you know, of that work in our lives that we're going to look today is that the Holy Spirit helps us hear Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us hear Jesus. So we'll be looking at John 14, verse 15 to 31. John 14, verse 15 to 31. If you love me, obey my commands, my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me. I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make a home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. See you guys next week. Okay. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your working. Spirit of God, I pray that may you help us sense your presence. May you help us see your presence. May you help us believe your presence. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples have been with Jesus for a long time. But now time has come where Christ says, you know what, I'm going to leave you guys. And this troubled them a lot. Because you see, everything they have learned for the last 3 years about God has been influenced by Jesus Christ. And they cannot believe that their hero, their champion, is going to leave them. You know, because whenever they would go to sleep, they would know, they knew that, you know, the next day I'm going to wake up and I will go and have a cup of tea with Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a chat. You know, we're going to hang out. We're going to hear his words of wisdom. Because whenever they needed wisdom, you know, he gave advice and he gave it to them. Whenever they lacked faith, even in hard times, you know, he came to their rescue. He would say, you know, ye of little faith, but still you come through for them. Whenever they were pinned down by the authorities, by the Pharisees, Christ would come to their rescue and he would, you know, bring out a better argument and defeat the Pharisees. So the thought of seeing Jesus Christ leave and no longer be with them was troubling and unbearable. They could not imagine leaving and being without Jesus. Everything they had known about God in these last 3 years has been influenced by him. But he says, I'm going. I'm leaving. So what would the disciples have to do to let Jesus go? What will it take for the disciples to let Jesus go? Because they are now having these questions. Will they hear him speak again? What about when they need him? What about when their faith is failing and fading? And he has helped them so many times. What's going to happen then? Where will he be when they need him the most to ask advice and to seek wisdom? Will they let him go? But if they do, will they hear his voice again? So this is real. This is real for the disciples. You know, they have left their homes and they have left their jobs to follow Jesus Christ. And they've been doing this for 3 years. But now he says, bye, we'll see ya. It's like, come on, we have sacrificed everything to follow you. And now you're leaving? Now you're going? But Jesus Christ says, you know what, do not worry, actually. You know, I have good news. So he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever. And John actually repeats this in verse 26. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus says, you know what? I am going, but I'm not leaving you guys alone. I have something great. I have something beautiful for you guys. And in fact, you don't even need to worry that you will not hear my voice again or my words of wisdom again or my advices, because I'm bringing in somebody else, the advocate, and he will remind you of all the things that I've taught you, and he will teach you all things, the advocate. Now, for this passage, for that word advocate, and when you look into all kinds of translations, they use all kinds of words as well, because I think it's kind of like a difficult one. So some scriptures or some translations will say advocate. Some translations will say friend. You know, I'll give you a friend. I'll ask the Father to give you a friend or a comforter. I'll ask the Father to give you a comforter, somebody that walks alongside you, somebody that walks alongside you. And some translations will say helper. You know, he will ask the Father to give us the helper or the counselor, as other passages say. But here says the advocate, NIV says the advocate. And the word advocate means someone who is in support of an idea or a cause of an action. An advocate can also be a lawyer who defends someone in a law court. The Holy Spirit exists to glorify Jesus, meaning that he's going to advocate. He is an advocate who makes a case on behalf of Jesus. He makes a case on behalf of Jesus so that we can choose Jesus above all else. So we can choose Jesus above all else. And sometimes the activity of the Holy Spirit is to help us hear Jesus. And he makes a case why we should choose Jesus above all else. Because Christ says, I will ask the Father and he's going to send an advocate. And you can confidently listen to him. You can actually hear him. Because he is the Spirit of truth, and he will teach you in all things. He will teach you. There are times when other voices in our lives are louder than the voice of Jesus, and we need help. We need help so that we can hear the voice of Jesus. And the one that gives us that help is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. So he's going to be the companion that we're going to have. And the disciples, this will be the companion that they will have. And he is the perfect companion for them. Because all their worries of, you know, how will they know where to go? The Holy Spirit will be there for them. All their worries of, you know, what are we going to say if we are pinned down by the authorities and we don't know how to defend ourselves? They don't have to worry about that. Because this perfect companion, the Holy Spirit, will be with them and will help them. And he's the same for us. You cannot actually come to know Jesus Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. Why is he the perfect companion? Number one, he is fully present. The Holy Spirit is fully present. Verse 16 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Not just for one day, not just for a moment, not just for a second, but he's going to be with you forever. He's going to be so present in your life. He's going to be fully present. The Holy Spirit will be there. And if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is true for you. Because, as I said, you cannot come to know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he is there with you. And he's an advocate in your life, making a case for Jesus so that above all the louder voices, you can hear his voice alone. So he's not there just temporarily, but he's there permanently. And he's going to be with them. He's going to be with you forever. He's going to be with you forever. And he's also the perfect companion because, as verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He is full of truth. He is full of truth. The Holy Spirit is full of truth. He cannot and he will never lead you into an error. He can never lead you into an error. He will not lead you into sin. The Spirit of God will not lead you into sin. But rather, he will speak truth And he will guide you in all truth. He will guide you in all truth. And that verse also says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world cannot accept the Holy Spirit because it cannot see him and it cannot know him. There is no desire in the world to seek the Holy Spirit. And therefore, because it does not seek him, it cannot recognize him, and he is not beneficial to them. He's not beneficial, but for people who are looking for him, we'll recognize and know him. For us, we're going to recognize and know him because he has been given to us and he is at work in us. He will be within us. So he's the perfect companion. He's also the perfect companion because he reminds us of what Jesus is all about. Verse 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. He will remind you of everything I have said. Now, when I read that, you know, I was thinking, like, why do we need somebody who will remind us of what Christ said? And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, you're telling me you had no vision of 2019 where we're going to have smartphones and we're going to have this thing called the Bible? In fact, there's going to be an app that we're going to have on our phones. Every morning, my app, you know, gives me, you know, the verse for the day. You know, it pops up, boom, verse for the day. And then I go and read. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And you can even make it to, like, say, you know, about maybe disappointment or about whatever you can, you know, and it'll be giving you verses, like, you know, in those lines. I'm like, come on, you know, we're going to have, you know, smartphones where we can actually put reminders, even put a reminder of it's time to read your Bible. Oh, yeah, let's see what Jesus said. You know, it's written down. It's there. Why do I need somebody to remind me? Why do I need somebody to remind me? But we know that Jesus Christ is talking about something deeper than just reading words that he says. Because you can read what Scripture says. You can read what Jesus said. You know, but there's a difference between believing and doing, isn't it? That gap is huge. The gap of believing and doing is massive. You know, a lot of people believe in God. A lot of people believe that loving other people is good. A lot of people believe that being there for someone is great. But can you do what you believe? That's the hardest one. Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, or the Holy Spirit, who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He acts within you to will and to act. Doing what Jesus Christ says is the work of the Holy Spirit that, you know, he is doing in us because he is working in us. He's working in us to will. And we know that this is the issue of the heart. It's the issue. It is more to do with our affections. With our affections. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to know Jesus, let alone to love him. The Holy Spirit grows our affections towards Christ. And whenever our affections for Jesus Christ grows, then we will love his truth. Then we're going to do it. Because our hearts, the Spirit of God is actually working in our hearts. And he is not just working in our hearts to love the truth that he says, but to love Jesus himself. And that whatever he says, we want to do that. We want to go for it. So the Spirit of God reminds us of his truth and helps us to act on it. He helps us to act on it. He is tuning our affections that we are loving Jesus more than anything else. That we are loving Christ more than anything else. And it is only then when we have this affection for Christ, when our affection for Christ grows, that we will hear his voice. and that we can act on what he says. On what he says. And this happens in our everyday relationships. Relationships are important, but when you lose the reason why you even entered in that relationship, you know, your passion is lost, isn't it? Your passion is lost. Your affections begin to fade. For some of you, remember the first day of college. You know, you remember the excitement. You know, you remember, like, you cannot believe. Maybe you prayed all day. Thank you, God, that I got into college. You know, you were running up and down, and they're telling you you're going to be doing assignments. You're like, aha, what is this? This is nothing to me. You were so excited. But now, you cannot even do a single assignment. Because your passion, the affection is lost, isn't it? Some of you remember the feeling that you had in your first job. You know, when you received that letter, you know, we are pleased to inform you. Haha, you've been offered this position. I mean, come on, the excitement. And you're calling your relatives, you're calling the people in your life. It was all great, all good. It was beautiful. You cannot believe how God could be so good to give you this amazing job. And now you're in it. You go to work, but you're on your Facebook all the time, on your WhatsApp groups all the time, playing Candy Crush all the time. That zeal and affection is lost. Some of you remember the very first day that you started your business. And how exciting and amazing that was, and so beautiful, was so glorious, was amazing. But now the passion is no longer there. Some of you, you remember the day that you got married. It was all beautiful. It was all amazing. But now the passion and affections are lost. The people that love their jobs or their relationships or their school or their marriages, the one thing that's common that they tell me whenever I ask them, how have we managed to stay married for this long? And they always say, you know, I love my partner more than ever. I've never loved her. I've never loved him the way I do now. It's just so beautiful. My love for the other person just grows. My love for this just grows. It's constant growth. Constant growth. And now, because we are forgetful, we are so selfish, we need the Holy Spirit. Not only to rekindle our affections for Jesus, but to grow our affections for him. Because we can be so forgetful. If it happens in our relationships, it will happen in our relationship with the Lord. So we need the Spirit of God. Because Jesus is more at work in our lives when we allow the Holy Spirit to take charge. Jesus is more at work in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to take charge. To take charge. So, as we just launched this series, what I wanted to do, you know, throughout this, we'll be encouraging you guys to become more aware of the Spirit of God and his work. And to see where you need him. To see where you need him. Because he glorifies Jesus Christ. And when you pay attention to the Spirit of God, you will glorify Jesus. You will glorify Jesus Christ. And I was just, you know, wondering of, like, what are... where are the places in my life that I fail to pay attention to what the Spirit of God is doing? And as I was thinking about that, you know, I realized that, you know, it becomes harder for me to pay attention to Jesus Christ in places where my emotional appeal is the strongest. In places where my emotional appeal is the strongest. It becomes harder for me to pay attention to what the Spirit of God might be saying. Or the Spirit of God might be wanting me to tune my antennas to and to turn my antennas to and tune to what He is saying. Because when our, because in the places where emotions are the strongest, when that appeal is the strongest, our voice becomes louder than His voice. And we are more tempted to follow the louder voice than the truest voice. And I find that, whatever voice is loud in me, I'll follow that than the voice which is true. So look out. Look out that you can step out of situations where your emotional appeal is the strongest. When you are disappointed. When you're so disappointed, it will be hard or becomes a challenge for you to follow the truest voice. You're going to follow the loudest voice. When you're angry. Or when you have feelings of love. Feelings of love. Sometimes they can, blind our judgment. Happiness, excitement, resentment. When our emotions are the strongest, when that appeal is the strongest, we have to pay attention that we are not choosing the louder voice above the truest voice. And the truest voice is the voice of the Spirit of God, because He is making a case for Jesus Christ that in those moments you can choose and hear Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, some people already know about this, but I had a thought. I don't want to say the Spirit spoke to me, but I had a thought of just rallying our entire congregation to a time of prayer and fasting. And I thought, we shouldn't start on the fast because there's a lot of eating. But actually we could do it still in January. So I thought of starting tomorrow, the 7th, all the way to the 27th. Just having a time of prayer and fasting. And I wanted to ask you guys to join in. And, when you think about fasting, I'm not only talking about food, but anything else that you want to offer to God. I want to let this thing go. I want to put it in the hands of God so that I show to God that I rely more on Him than on this thing and whatever that thing is for you. For some, it could be food, actually. For some, it could be social media. Whatever it is, that you want to offer to God and to say, for the next 21 days, I will spend time in prayer and fasting, and I will be fasting this thing. And I wanted you guys to kind of have a think of what you could offer to God in this time, and that we could pray. And what I want to ask you is, I want to ask for 5 minutes of your day that you're spending in prayer. For 5 minutes only, just for 5 minutes that you're spending in prayer. And you could do 15 minutes in the morning. You could do 15 minutes in the afternoon. You could do 15 minutes later, in the evening. But at least I have just spent this for 5 minutes of prayer. And to just we need to tune our hearts for us to be aware of what the Spirit of God is doing in our church community, us together as a church. And most of you know, but if you don't know, we'll be starting our new ministry year in February. So 2018, 2019 ends, the end of this month. And then we are starting a new ministry year in February. So the first week of February, we're going to have a vision day to just tell you guys about things that we could look forward to. know. But between now and then, you know, we'll be in the process of recruiting leaders. We'll be in the process of, you know, talking to people that can serve on different ministries. You know, we'll be asking people to serve on different ministries. You know, we just need God's direction and guidance as we are planning for the next year. So, you know, you could put those things, you know, in your prayers as we are praying to God. But also, you know, just look in your life, things that you can surrender, or you need God's help to surrender to God in these 21 days, to just be lifting them up to God in prayer. And also, you can also use this time to see what disciplines you can develop as a person, you know, as your service to God, as you're growing as a Christian. What disciplines can you develop? You know, for some of you, maybe it's reading scripture. You know, maybe it will be good for you, you know, to, before you go to work or to school or whenever, to just spend time in scripture. Or maybe before you go to bed or whatever time works for you. And that's a discipline that you can start and carry it on. You know, for some of you, it's actually the discipline of prayer itself that you can carry on. For some of you, it's giving. And whatever that is, you know, you can decide as well, I want to develop this discipline, and I will be intentional in pursuing God. So 21 days beginning tomorrow, and have a think of the things that you want to, you know, give to the Lord, to show that you can only depend and rely on Him for sustenance in whatever area that is. And for 5 minutes of prayer, you know, a day. And that would be great. That would be amazing. I will also be opening from Monday to Wednesdays. I will, you know, I'll be here at lunch times. If you want to come in for a couple minutes to just pray as well, you can come and join me in this very building. But we just want to have this time of just praying to the Lord as, you know, as the church, as the entire congregation, and giving our church community to the Lord. Because without Him, there's nothing we can do, and we need Him. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You. I worship You, Lord, for You are good. Lord Jesus, I pray that may You help us, God, as a community, that we will be more aware of where You are working. We'll be more aware of Your presence. We'll be more aware of Your work, Holy Spirit. May You help us, God, that we would grow in our affection of Jesus, that we love Him so much, more than anything else. So, Spirit of God, we pray that may You work in our hearts, may You work in our church community to the glory of Jesus. We thank and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.